Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Early returns and the overwhelming number of Democrats who are coming out, we're on pace to maintain the majority in the House of Representatives.
You don't seem to be reflecting or second-guessing any of the policy decisions you've made, instead saying the message the voters were sending was about frustration with the economy, or maybe even chalking it up to a failure on your part to communicate effectively. If you're not reflecting on your policy agenda, is it possible voters can conclude you're still not getting it?
Are you willing to concede at all that what happened last night was not just an expression of frustration about the economy, but a fundamental rejection of your agenda?
I think that there is no doubt that people's number one concern is the economy. And what they were expressing great frustration about is the fact that we haven't made enough progress on the economy. We've stabilized the economy. We've got job growth in the private sectors, but people all across America aren't feeling that progress.
Bye-bye love, bye-bye happiness.
Well, it's the day after. I don't know about you. I'm pretty wiped out. It's a great victory. Obama the Naked Marxist has been exposed everywhere except at NBC, ABC, CBS, MSNBC, and Fox News. Mainstream America had come to understand that this imposter was really a communist, genuinely a communist, a dangerous communist surrounded by even more dangerous people. He may be a nice fellow, by the way. Probably doesn't have a mean bone in his body. I want to repeat that. But I want to remind you that Pol Pot had been a mild-mannered professor in Cambodia who went to Paris to study Marxism, came back, introduced communism to Cambodia. And there were then a mountain of skulls 3 million deep because the people around him were not as nice as he was. I warn you that what I'm telling you is very relevant today. I know you want to just have a victory lap, but this is not a ball game. This is the most dangerous administration the country has ever seen. We have missed a meteorite from hitting the heart of our republic. This man may have been flying in with Krypton. You know, I spoke with someone today who is of Russian heritage. Just said, isn't it a great day? Because she knows what's going on. Just passing by, you know. She said, do you know my grandfather was killed by Stalin? I said, no, I didn't know that. She said, all of my grandfather and his brothers were killed by Stalin in 1937. I said, were they anti-communists? She said, oh, no, they weren't anti-communists. They were just very, very proud Ukrainians and professors of the Ukrainian language. And Stalin had them executed, taken out in the middle of the night and shot. So you say, well, what does that have to do with Obama? What are you talking about? Well, if you don't know what I'm talking about, re-trickle-up poverty, maybe you'll learn. I've been trying to tell you what it's all about. The guy at the top isn't necessarily the evil one. No, he rarely is. He's probably a nice guy. Hitler was a vegetarian, a teetotaler, loved his dog Blondie, couldn't stand to watch movies of animals being hunted. No problem killing millions of Jews and millions of people who opposed him. He's just, he didn't look at it. But he had plenty of people who were willing to do those jobs for him. So this is a repudiation of Obama. It's a repudiation of his radical leftist agenda. It's a repudiation of everything the man has done. He did nothing right. And here we are. Now what's going to happen? Well, don't get your hopes up, number one. It's the same. I'm sorry, Uncle Michael has to be the same cautiously optimistic man he was after that gentleman won in Massachusetts. You called this show. You thought Scott Brown was going to save the universe. You thought Scott Brown was going to run for the president. I said, wait a minute, slow down. He's only going to be another politician. And I fear the same thing with the Republicans. Yes, they moved a little bit from their center positions to embrace the Tea Party candidates. But do you actually think that John Boehner is going to start moving to the right now that they're back in power? Do you actually think John McCain learned a thing from this election? Do you actually think that John McCain realized that his Stepford wife, his Stepford wife lost Feingold? They were tied at the hip. Feingold got thrown out. How McCain stayed in, I don't know. Probably because he ran against someone without money and without real recognition. I don't know. But the point is, here we are. It's the day after. I feel very much like gorillas do in a zoo on a Monday after people have fed them candy on a Sunday. If you want to call about the prospects for America or just vent as to how you feel today, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. We've got some amazing stories to come up. Here's Pelosi last night saying we're on pace to hold on to the House of Representatives. So I have a question for you. Now that Pelosi is going to be thrown out of the House of Representatives and the speakership, that is, what will she do next? I know that there's no room for a pizza shop in North Beach. A, there are very few pizza shops in North Beach, San Francisco. B, I don't think her brand of pizza would sell, number two. Now that Russ Feingold has been thrown out of his seat as a senator, what is Russ Feingold going to do? Do they really understand locks in Milwaukee? Do you think there's still a chance he could do something useful, like open up a store that sells decent corned beef? I don't really know. Now that Ron Klein in Florida, this is the biggest shocker of all, by the way. This is an amazing story. And joining us today will be the gentleman who beat old Ron Klein. Now, Ron Klein is in a district which contains a lot of people who liked Ron Klein. But apparently, his competitor won. The African-American war hero who came back, who was smeared by Ron Klein and his Democrat cohorts, won. And that gentleman will be with us on the Savage Nation to talk about it. We have not been able to reach Ron Klein. We do know that he's looking into opening a franchise of Katz's Delicatessen in Boca Raton, but I don't think that the early bird crowd is waiting for yet another corned beef emporium. Now, what about Mr. Kendrick in Florida? Kendrick lost. I don't think he will inherit the earth. I know that the meek shall inherit the earth, but I think he will inherit his uncle's big and tall clothing store. Here in San Francisco or California, we have the reverse of the rest of the country, because in California, as you well know, it's not that they're leading the pack anymore. Let's put it to you this way. An animal has a head and a tail. California has long thought it's the head, while it's been the tail for a very long time. In fact, some would say California politicians are what's beneath the tail. But we won't get into that, because this is talk radio and it's a family show. Here we elect a throwback to the 1960s of the lowest order, a man who has never held a real job in his life, a man who believes only in taxing, and engulfing people in red tape, a man who believes that only by passing cap and trade can we save the earth, a man who was not a good governor to begin with, and he wins now against a woman, businesswoman, who spends $130 million of her own money, who loses. Yet another woman who lost. She runs against a very unpopular, very distasteful Democrat named Barbara Boxer. Nobody liked Barbara Boxer. The Democrats were ready to get rid of her. Forget just personal hygienic problems. We're talking about her personality and her effects as a legislator. She wins anyway. So how does Carly Fiorina and Meg Whitman lose when there should have been a slam dunk? They were both women and they were both businesswomen, yet they lost. There's a simple answer. I know the answer. Because Meg Whitman, although she spent $130 million, and this is a lesson, by the way, if you're in New York or Milwaukee or Florida, if you have any impact on your Republican friends, warn them. What I'm going to tell you is very important for them to know. I'll tell you a little bit more later. I can't give it to you all in a few breaths. I'm going to go to another story. California again. What happens? They vote to legalize marijuana and it gets shot down. Pot is out. Why? You'd say it's a left-wing state. It elects Moonbeam. It elects a throwback governor. Left-wing. And yet they reject legalizing marijuana. How's that possible? I'm the only one who knows the answer on the Savage Nation. Nobody knows why that happened except me. I'll be right back to tell you all about it right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage
the early returns and the overwhelming number of Democrats who are coming out, we're on pace to maintain the majority in the House of Representatives.
Send Fredo off to do this. Send Fredo off to do that. Let Fredo take care of some Mickey Mouse nightclub somewhere. I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says. Like, dumb. I'm smart, and I want the stakes.
I'm sorry. I can't help myself. I don't know what one has to do with the other. How out of touch could a Mad Hatter be? Where's Lewis Carroll now that we need him? Nancy Pelosi was made for Lewis Carroll cartoon. I've never seen any. How did this happen to us? We had an imposter put in as president who's a dead ringer for Alfred E. Newman from the Mad Comic days. And then we have a Mad Hatter as a Speaker of the House. They wreck the country. They destroy our integrity, wreck our morality, destroy our posture worldwide. And the night of the election, when everyone sees the ship going down, she's on the back of the ship saying, we are doing fine. The ship is going forward. Okay, here we are. Now, we can make a lot of jokes today. I guess we should just let, you know, breathe easy. I mean, have a vent a little bit. It was good everywhere, a few areas, no. I mean, you thought Harry Reid would lose to Sharon Angle. Let's put it here. Do you know anyone who won recently in Las Vegas at a casino? Let's put it to you that way. Let's leave it at that. I mean, expecting Sharon Angle to win in Las Vegas would be like expecting your brother-in-law Murray to go to Las Vegas and come back $100,000 richer. Okay? Does that answer that question? The witch, that's another story, the witch job. That had to go because she was portrayed as a lunatic, and that was the end of that story. People weren't willing to gamble with, I was once a witch. You know, it's like Joan Blondell, I married Joan. It was enough of that already. We had already a crazy housewife a few times already. So that was that. Oh, I promised to tell you something that I forgot already about. The pot thing. Why did the legalization of pot measure lose in far left of California? There's something most of America doesn't quite understand, and certainly the Republicans don't understand it at all, and they're going to lose if they don't understand that I know more than they do about what's going on in the country. Let me explain it to you. The Hispanic vote, legal and illegal, was the key to victory for Jerry Brown. Once it was exposed that Meg Whitman, rightly or wrongly, had fired an illegal alien or whatever, that was the end of the road when she looked mean and heartless, and she fired the woman, said fire her. So you have to understand that the dynamics of California are unique in America. The large number of Hispanic families in California oppose legalization of pot because they don't want their children hooked on that horrible, disgusting weed that they know poisons the mind of people. Never mind the propaganda. The Hispanic people, by and large, are hardworking people. They don't want their children tied up in the drug trade nor even using drugs. And they said no to legalizing marijuana, and that's why it lost. It goes back to what happened during the should gays have the right to marry here 2 years ago or a year ago. It was roundly defeated, but largely because 9 out of 10 African Americans, who all voted for Obama, voted against legalizing homosexual marriage because African Americans are socially conservative. You don't know that because the popular media would have you believe that they're all crack addicts and they all are hip-hop artists. But that's the opposite of reality. And that is something you don't understand. And that was 9 out of 10 African-Americans voted against legalizing homosexual marriage back when Obama ran and won the presidency. It was 7 or 8 out of Hispanics said no to legalizing homosexual marriage, even though they voted for Obama. And it was 9 out of 10 Chinese-American people who voted against same-sex marriage. So this is something that the Republicans still don't understand. They still don't understand what they're doing with regard to that. And if they run Romney, if they should run the invisible man, if the Republicans run another non-entity for the presidency like Whitman, they're finished. Obama will be president again because he'll start moving to the center. Obama will move to the center. He'll start pitching the people that he got the first time. I'm warning you, they're lining up Romney, and Romney's been nowhere when we needed him. Nowhere did we hear Romney, see Romney. He sees no evil, hears no evil, and speaks no evil. We have been through hell over the last 2 years. Where was Romney? Nowhere. On what? Not one issue did this man appear. The Ground Zero Mosque, out to lunch. Nothing. Zero. Look at what we've been through during this horrendous coup by the Obama leftists. And who was helping us? Sarah Palin, was fighting the good fight, along with many people on the internet and, of course, talk radio. We were the deciding factor. I would like to believe my book, Trickle Up Poverty, had something to do with alerting America and educating America to what the man was about and what he's going to do next. And I want to now turn it to Obamacare. The Republicans promised they would repeal Obamacare. Isn't that why the governors won, right? Even though it's a federal law. But wasn't it all about Obamacare and the economy, largely, somewhat, partly, right? Amongst many other things that the man did to this country. But the fact of the matter is, Obamacare was a big factor. The health care fraud, what's really in the bill? Do you really know what's in the bill? The biggest chapter in my book, Trickle Up Poverty, is about Obamacare. It's called The Health Scare Fraud, What's Really in the Bill. And I want to tell you again, if you bought the book already, please read the chapter over the next weeks or months and share it. Xerox it. I don't need the royalties, okay? Xerox it if you have to. For God's sakes, you better learn what's really in the bill. Because if you think cap and trade is bad, you're right. But if you don't really understand what this man wants to do to us, with regard to Cuba-style health care, you need to educate yourself. You understand this? And it's all about Obamacare, the health care fraud, what's really in the bill. I really want you to go out and read this chapter. It's probably the most important thing you could do between now and whenever. I know you're not going to do it immediately because you're going to take a deep breath. And I don't blame you. You need a deep breath. You understand that? I think I'm going to tell you about when I was a kid working in a pharmacy, because that made me an expert in medicine and in sociology. And it all goes back to when I was 14 working in a local drugstore in Queens, New York. And Dr. Pharmacist, the Italian immigrant from the old country who had an oversized shoe on his right leg because he had had an accident as a youth and he needed an 8-inch heel to compensate for his short leg.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. It's an amazing day in America. We were saved from a look, if this guy, first of all, I was wrong. Let me start with that. I was a pessimist, or shall I say too pessimistic. Remember I said 25 to 35 seats at most? I was wrong. I thought the Democrats would do what they did in Nevada and steal more seats by busing in workers. It's reported that Hispanic workers were bused to polls by Democrats and unions to vote for Harry Reid. I mean, he was down by 4 in every poll, but won by 5. That's a 9-point swing. Teachers' unions in Nevada offered $25 Starbucks gift cards to every teacher in the state and gave every teacher Friday, Monday, or a Tuesday off for once-a-year teachers' conferences so every teacher could vote. Democrat, you understand this? They're all going to get future raises during a depression. And casino bosses desperately needed him in his position of power as a U.S. Senate Majority Leader so that even Republican casino CEOs in Las Vegas appeared in TV ads for Harry Reid. So you ask, how did they do it? So what I'm getting at is it's a big, big story out there, you know, and it's it has to be looked at very carefully. But when I said that there would only be 25 seats, it's because I thought that they would do what they did in Nevada more so than what we know about. I'm very pleasantly surprised that they won. Republicans are in control and have 60 seats. And this is a huge victory. It's going to stop Obama's leftward-leaning ship. Dead cold, dead in the water. His ship's dead in the water. He's going nowhere with his radical agenda. Nowhere. Nowhere. Obama's agenda is over. Now, he should cancel his trip to India because the Democrats were given a shellacking like you can never believe. In our lifetime, I've never seen it in our lifetime. Whether you're older or younger than me, I've never seen anything like this. And thank God the people were awakened in time. He's now going to go to India at a cost of $200 million a day, an entourage of 3,000 people with ships and airplanes and bulletproof cars, $200 million a day after this malarkey about feeling your pain. Not a good thing for him to do. And he's going to further damage any hopes the Democrats may have. So I would say, oh, good, let him go. You know what I'm going to say. They don't learn. They don't learn. He's very much like a French general was and the French generals were in World War II. He is the worst general in the history of the Democrat National Committee. In the sense, he's very much like the French generals were in World War II. who were slaughtering their men, running them into German positions that were in, couldn't be taken. And the French were dying by the thousands, then the tens of thousands, then the hundreds of thousands. But the pig-headed French generals kept sending their men right into machine gun nests and into German artillery. And they butchered millions of Frenchmen because they were very bad generals and they were just incapable of seeing what was going on. In that regard, Obama's like a French general from World War II. I would say cymbal shot, but it's not funny. We're dealing with life and death issues here, whether you know it or not. You know, revolutions occur in countries unlike ours on a much quicker pace. In America, revolutions occur very slowly. I don't think you understand this. There's no way Obama could have introduced naked communism to reflect his inner nature, let's say his inner mindset. It had to be done slowly through legislation, and they tried it. Obamacare, that's not Cuban-style medicine. I'd like to know what is. Seizing General Motors and still not making a profit. I'd like to know if that's not the nationalization of a major industry, and so forth and so on. So he was on the road to a revolution, meaning he called it transformation, code word revolution. Now you have to understand that had he not lost so big, he would continue. He would have continued down this road. They're not going to continue down this road. They don't have the majority anymore, number one. And number two, wiser elders inside the Democrat Party are suddenly aware, and they've probably been aware now for quite a while, that he was going to wreck the Democrat Party by swinging them so far off course, so far off the center. Let's put it to you that way. Many wise Democrats listen to the Savage Nation because they know that I'm going to give them an educated opinion as to what the American people actually think. Don't underestimate something about this audience. Irrespective of whether or not you think it's this or that, it doesn't matter what you think. It's the third largest radio show in the United States of America. My book, Trickle Up Poverty, went up to number two on the Wall Street Journal, New York Times lists, without any advertising to speak of and without any appearances on even Fox News. How do you explain that? Because this, and so therefore, you have a new respect, I have a new respect. Who listens to this show? I have no idea. I really don't know. How do you really know when it's so many people? Do you really know? What do you have a mind? You ask me a question. Michael, when you're sitting there in your studio with your dog, wherever you may be doing your show, who do you think is listening? Do you have a mind image of them? Where are they? Are they in a car on the Cross Bronx Expressway listening on WOR? Where are they? Who's listening to you? I couldn't tell you. I don't know. I actually don't have a figure in my head. It's a strange phenomenon. I don't know who's listening. I don't know who you are. So how do I reach you? How is it I'm able to connect with you? How? What is this magic that I speak to you in a room alone? I'm on a microphone alone. No one is here with cue cards. No one's got a teleprompter for me. I'm speaking from the heart. I'm using all of my education and knowledge. And through the magic of satellite technology, in a millisecond, my voice goes across wires. It goes up to Oregon. It goes from Oregon up into the sky. It comes down from the sky in a split second, a millisecond, a quantum second. It's transmitted into radio stations, and it's in your ear. How is this possible? But more than how is it possible, how do I connect with you? Why do you listen to the show, I ask myself. I don't know the miracle. I don't know the miracle. I don't know the magic, but I know this. I have it, and you have it. And the Democrats have lost it. Whatever they may have had with their control of Katie Corva and her court jesters, those days are over. Now, during today's press conference, I was amazed to see some of the vermin in the media standing up to Obama. But, I mean, in a way, it was very nice to see, but they had the guts all of a sudden. They almost had the guts to stand up to him. Here's a woman I never heard of from NBC named Savannah Guthrie. Listen to this one in 25.
You don't seem to be reflecting or second-guessing any of the policy decisions you've made, instead saying the message the voters were sending was about frustration with the economy, or maybe even chalking it up to a failure on your part to communicate effectively. If you're not reflecting on your policy agenda, is it possible voters can conclude you're still not getting it?
Well,
you're still not getting it. This woman is not going to be long for NBC because no doubt the bosses are all Democrats. They're not going to like it, but she's good. She stood up to him. Then there was a guy named, I don't know his name, from CNN. It's unimportant. I was shocked. Play the CNN guy. That's a good one.
You had a lot of fun on the campaign trail by saying that the Republicans were drinking a Slurpee and sitting on the sidelines while you were trying to pull the car out of the ditch. But the point of the story was that you said if you want to go forward, you put the car in D. If you want to go backwards, you put it in R. Now that there are at least 60 House districts that seem to have rejected that message, is it possible that there are a majority of Americans who think your policies are taking us in reverse? And what specific changes will you make?
All right. A good question. Very, very testy and challenging for a CNN guy. Maybe he will now be hired by the opposition because he stood up to Obama. So they're starting now to stand up to this president, and he'll be gone. As you know, Hillary is collecting mud masks in Papua New Guinea. It's very nice. I collected the best ones 25 years ago. There are none left. What the heck is she doing in Papua New Guinea? Does anyone understand the phenomenon of Hillary Clinton, the heir apparent to Obama, is in Papua New Guinea? Why is this? Well, I don't think you have to be a political genius to know that she's hiding so that no one can associate her with the current administration. But Papua New Guinea, that's amazing to me. I mean, it's not even France. It's not even France. Let's go to some of the callers. I don't know. Where shall I begin? What do you think? Oh, no, I have a better sound. No, never mind where we should begin. Here's what I want to do. John Boehner gave a speech that was very moving. He cried during the victory speech, and I normally ridicule men who cry in public. I think it's uncalled for. I think it's effeminate. But this time, I didn't ridicule him because I was touched by the reality of this man's struggles and what he must be feeling. Listen to this.
I spent my whole life chasing the American dream. Listen, I had that love. You know, I started out mopping floors, waiting tables, and tending bar at my dad's tavern. I put myself through school, working every rotten job there was. And in every night shift I could find. And I poured my heart and soul into running a small business.
Beautiful. It's just beautiful. But listen to what he's saying. Listen to the next one.
And when I saw how out of touch Washington had become with the core values of this great nation, I put my name forward and ran for office. So I want to thank my wife, Debbie, my girls, Lindsay and Tricia, my 11 brothers and sisters, and all my friends and neighbors in Ohio for giving me the chance to serve and the opportunity to stand before you ready to lead. Thank all of you. God bless you, and God bless our great country.
Oh, thank God that we have him coming in and the other ones going out. What a difference in human beings. He spent his whole life chasing the American dream, started out mopping floors, waiting tables, put himself through school. I can relate to every word he just said, working every rotten job there was, on and on and on. Then he has 11 brothers and sisters. He's blessed with that, I can tell you that. I mean, that's a beautiful thing. But here's a man who comes from a real American family that's large. He knows what they're going through. He's not an elitist, wasn't born into power, wasn't born into money, was not willing to dump on people like they were pigeons to be thrown off a roof. It was amazing to me, the difference between her and what we have now. Listen to this, and you'll see what I mean.
I never stop whipping. There's no beginning, there's no middle, and there's no end. My life is a constant whip operation.
Can you believe what we live through? Can you believe the Harridan that has been running the... I think we've said enough. I look forward to John Boehner. I know he's not an arch conservative. I wouldn't expect it. But the fact is that he's a realist, he's a real man, and he knows what the average man feels, unlike Nancy Pelosi, who never met one in her life. And if she did, she'd probably have him arrested under suspicion of something. If Nancy Pelosi ever ran into an average man, I think she'd probably have him arrested. Sacramento James, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, people actually think that the Republicans are there for them. They better think twice. And you know, when the Tea Party started up, Sarah Palin was still governor of Alaska. Now, she wasn't even involved in the Tea Parties. She quit Alaska. She joined with Fox News, became a political consultant, And then she jumped on this Tea Party bandwagon, and I don't see anything there. And believe me, she didn't impress me.
James, are you a member of a Tea Party? Is that where you're coming from?
I am just an American citizen. I am American. I am affiliated with no party. I am a declined state. That's how I read.
So you feel no confidence whatsoever in the Republican Party. You fear they're going to do the same thing they did before.
No, sir. John Boehner. Let's remember, people, that he was high up in the party 4 years ago when they lost power. And in 2008, he voted on that huge ripoff bill that Bush signed.
Which bill did he vote for?
The one right before the 2008 election.
What bill was it?
Thanks.
Well, I don't know which bill you're referring to. I'm going to give Boehner a chance, though. Wouldn't you say it's an improvement over Pelosi?
It's an improvement, sir, but, you know, they...
Well, all right, so say, look, we got to take what we can get here, James. I mean, we just missed the fanatic. The fanatics have just lost, James.
Absolutely.
James, let me send you a free copy of Trickle Up Poverty. Maybe you'll feel better. You get a free gift. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I've been in some pretty tough fights in my day. They've been in the street, been in a boxing ring, and they've been in the United States Senate. But I have to admit, this has been one of the toughest. But it's nothing compared to the fights families are facing all over Nevada right now.
Well, you know, Harry, I actually like Harry Reid as a person. I only wish he were a Republican and a conservative rather than a liberal Democrat. I'd like to have Harry Reid on our side. I mean, there's something wrong with the whole picture. Harry Reid has all the natural background and instincts to have been a conservative Republican, but it's not the way politics works. I like that guy. But there's no question that the biggest loser here is President Obama and his agenda, and perhaps the greatest embarrassment and the most embarrassed person on earth, well, should be those, would be the individual who last night predicted that everything was going fine. Play Pelosi again. I'm sorry.
I never stop whipping. There's no beginning, there's no middle, and there's no end. My life is a constant whip operation.
My God. My God. Today she said she has no regrets. We believe we did the right thing, and we worked very hard in our campaigns to convey to the American people. So that she learned nothing from it. Nothing. The first woman to wield the gavel. And she broke the marble ceiling. Oh, she broke it all right. She smashed it forever. She's going to cede the job to a Republican, probably John Boehner, as part of the congressional power shift that is part of the United States of America and its fine governmental system. It's unbelievable to me. She still learned nothing by it. Did you know that President Obama's own seat was lost to a Republican? Are you aware of that? And if I'm not mistaken, it's largely an African-American district, and they didn't vote for a Democrat. Can you check that one out? I'm not up on that one exactly, but I think that's what happened. Yeah, I mean, he was repudiated. So she has no regrets one day after a Republican landslide stripped her of the power that defined her as the most vicious tenure as the first female Speaker of the House. She made a mockery of the House of Representatives. She thought it was her personal fiefdom. It was not. She was not running the country. She wasn't running in control of the reins for the House. She was in control of the reins for her own personal... the airplanes. I mean, you know, there should be investigations right now. There should be investigations for the next 2 years, as far as I'm concerned. They should investigate Attorney General Eric Holder and why he did not pursue the Black Panther case. They should pursue an investigation of EPA Administrator Lisa Jackson, HHS Secretary Kathleen Sebelius, DH Secretary Janet Napolitano should be hauled before the Congress and asked to explain how she failed us at every turn. Defense Secretary Robert Gates, slashing the military, Defense Secretary? He's not defending the Defense Department. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner should become a clerk in Bankers Trust Company, which doesn't exist anymore. Obama czars should all be fired. Every last one of them should be forced to be exposed to the light, the sunlight. That's what I want to see happen. I don't want to just hear Republicans won in business as usual, go back to sleep. Salt Lake Tom, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Mike.
Tom. Yes, go ahead.
Tell you one thing. It took me 2 weeks to get my hands on your book. I finally got it yesterday. The bookstore lady told me it came in on Tuesday. I snagged the last copy, and as I stood there reading your manifesto, which was just thumbing through it, a lady came up like a scalper, offered me $10 more than what they were selling it for. I did give it to her for
Tom,
the
Tom, are you serious? That's what's going on in Salt Lake City? They can't even find the book?
Yeah, she wanted to give me an extra $10. I had the last copy in my hand, so I felt like a scalper. But she
That's amazing. Well, I think you called to talk about the facts of my Savage Manifesto in the back of the book, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And then it was a blessing in disguise. I thought, you know, every congressman, senator that got reelected or elected last night seriously should get a copy of your manifesto. It makes so much
sense. Well, you know what would do it? I'll tell you what. If people put a post-it on the manifesto, 37 points, and everyone who bought the book buys another copy and sends it to their local congressman, maybe we stand a chance.
It was beautiful.
English only. Close the borders. Defend the borders. Defund Obamacare. Reduce the size and scope of government by 4% each year. Oil for illegals. You want me to go on? I have a plan.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
The early returns and the overwhelming number of Democrats who are coming out, we're on pace to maintain the majority in the House of Representatives.
We're saying to young people, reach your aspirations, take your time to do it. You can stay on your parents' policy until you are 26 years old. The list goes on and on.
I never stop whipping. There's no beginning, there's no middle, and there's no end. My life is a constant whip operation.
To tell you the truth, I don't really even have the time to pay attention to what they're saying about me. But they're saying it about me because they don't want to talk about the fact that these same people and the leadership that they support was against raising the minimum wage, that wants to overturn the greatest Wall Street reform in decades, and the biggest consumer
all right, well,
protection.
All right, we heard it all. Yeah, all right. Well, it didn't work, did it? The woman, Speaker Malarkey, didn't sell, and it wasn't that she was a woman. It was that she was a fanatic leftist with the so-called values of San Francisco. That's where the whipping comes in. You know, I mean, let's face it. She said that's a family value, so what can I tell you? So here we are. It's the day after, and it's a big day. It's a huge victory for the Tea Parties in particular. The conservative movement, yes. And the fear now, and it's a realistic fear, is that the stranglehold that the Republicans had on the government before Obama will return, and that they're just going to triangulate the new blood, the rebels, and they're going to turn them into Mr. Smith goes to Washington, and they're going to go and dip their beaks into the tax base again, and we'll be back to where we started. China will continue to gobble away at our economy. Al-Qaeda will continue to gobble away at our troops' blood, and we're not going to get anywhere. That's the real problem. Right? I mean, that's the reality. So if you want to vent as to what you feel today after this victory, both the good, bad, and the other, 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. I am pretty tired, I got to tell you. I feel as though I have run the four-minute mile in about 3 minutes. I need a rest. But how can you take a rest on a day like today? You cannot do it. Here we are already. It's only November a third. Instead of going to India for $200 million a day, I may go to an Indian restaurant tonight for $20. That's an interesting simile I could start using right now. If I had if my brain was a little sharper today and I wasn't so tired, I would continue now on that, you know, and go into one of my runs. Instead of spending $200 million on a trip to India, I spend $20 in an Indian restaurant, et cetera. But I can't do it. My mind is not firing at that level right now. Would you believe it? This is an interesting phenomenon in this business. Your mind has to fire. I have a V16 engine in my head, and sometimes I need an oil change. Right now, I need an oil that isn't even invented yet, to be honest with you. I am firing at all 16 cylinders, but I think I'll keep it turning around 2,200 RPM. I'm not going anywhere near the red line today, I can tell you that right now. It's the same with all my cars. I never redline my cars. You know, I'm a funny personality. I've always moderated everything. Since I've been an adult, I'll never run a car up to a red line. I know guys who, for example, have a Ferrari. They'll redline the car on the weekend, you know, at a track or wherever, and they figure let the next guy worry about it. They'll blow up an engine and replace it. I grew up with, like, you know, one pair of shoes under my bed, and I would polish them virtually every other night. In fact, the family, to this day, the ones who remember, they said you used to line up the few shoes you had under your little bed in the Bronx, and you'd shine them up and make sure they were orderly. I mean, okay, what's that, a mental disorder in today's society? Did I put my shoes under my bed and shine them up because I was proud of the few pair of shoes I had? This is how I am. I preserve things. I am a natural conservative when you think about it. What does a conservative mean? It has a dirty connotation, right? Oh, what? When you say conservative, what does it mean? What comes to your mind? Oh, anti-fun. You say to a young person, he's a conservative, what you're saying is old-fashioned, doesn't like sex, doesn't like a good time, doesn't know how to dance on two. The fact of the matter is, the opposite is true. I mean, I was dancing on two when I was 17 to Cuban music. As far as the rest of it goes, that's my business, not yours. But I'm a natural conservative in the regard that I like to preserve things. Preserve, maintain. What is wrong with preserving and maintaining the U.S. Constitution, for example? Nothing. Nothing. What is wrong with preserving and maintaining the dignity of the presidency? Nothing. You get the drift. You can fill in the rest yourself. At a certain point, you can carry it from here in your own head. The fact of the matter is, the man has debased the presidency in a way I could never believe possible. We have had liberals in the White House before. Some were good, some were not good, but nobody has done to the White House what this man has done so far. He has humiliated the United States of America around the world. Don't forget, this is part of why he was repudiated and why so many of his slavish followers were thrown out. Look, I don't need ABC to tell me what happened. I'll tell them what happened. I'm not looking for an interview with anyone tomorrow. I don't need them on my show. So therefore, I'll tell you what one man thinks. It may not be, you know, what you want to hear, but I'm telling you, this is how the people who think. I meet more people who define themselves as a moderate Democrats who say to me, well, I'm a moderate Democrat, some men will say, but they say, you know what, I agree with 90% of what you say. There's almost nothing I disagree with me on, but they're afraid to admit that they're afraid to be defined by what I say they should be defined by. You follow me? So let's just stick to the issues here. One issue after the other. I know what they're doing. So when I say stopping Obama's attack on our borders, economy, and security, you think that I did it just for rhetoric? Sure, I wanted to sell as many books as I could. Sure, I wanted the fame and the glory. Absolutely. I'd be lying to you if I said otherwise. I remember what the Bible says. All is vanity. Trust me, I know that. I know all is vanity. I know it in myself, and I know it in everyone I've ever met. All is vanity. But there are differentials within that framework of what is vanity. There are those who are seeking vanity who are destructive. There are those who are seeking their vanity to be stroked, or let us say magnified, that are quite constructive. You take the great works of art. You're telling me the artist didn't do it out of vanity? The artist didn't do it because he wanted fame and he didn't want fame or fortune? Of course he was motivated by the desire for fame or fortune. But if he produced a great work of art, so then look at the great work of art. You're not going to look at the fact that the man wanted fame and fortune. The same with my book. I produced a masterpiece that should live forever. It's a masterpiece. It may have been the single most important book that awakened America to who this president is and what he's liable to do to this country unless he is stopped completely before the next election. How do you like that? And I don't want to start going into 2012, but believe me, it's going to happen very soon. Coming Monday, God willing, I'm not doing politics. Coming Monday, I'm going to back off. We're going to go into all the other stuff that made me famous. The Monday's going to be for movies, books, a bad restaurant or two that I went to, which Chinese restaurant had my lipstick together. Everyone loves that one. They all want to know that which restaurant has the worst, which restaurant in San Francisco has the worst Chinese food they want to know from me. Moreover, why do you keep going there? Tuesday, I forget what Tuesdays was. I forgot already what it was for. Wednesday is finance. I'm never having that guy on again. I'm not going to tell you who. I had a guy on who was a complete liar. He did a reciprocal with me. He was on my show, supposed to be on his. A liar. He didn't have me on. They called me the next day. Oh, yeah, after he was on yours, yeah, we got a programming switch. I found out who he was. I'm not going to mention his name, but he's a liar through and through. So he'll never be on this show again. You'll never hear of him because I'll never mention his name. Thursday, vitamins, nutrition, and health, because I know a lot about it. And I'm going to probably bring in a few experts who know more about it than I do. Friday is a little religion. I know, religion, you get nervous. Some love it, some hate it. But I'm going to read a little Bible if it's related to society's issues. And I'd like to know anyone listening to the show who has not heard me read the Bible on a Friday and not seen the relationship to what's going on in the world today. I'd like to really hear from you on Friday. Let's not do this now. So that's going to be my Monday to Friday. I mean, today should be a great day for any freedom-loving American. Really, you got to take a deep breath. You got to sit on that plateau and say, you know what, we did it. You have to take that sense of satisfaction that your vote counted. You see what I mean? Do you know that your vote counted? Do you realize that old adage that Boy Scouts used to teach, were taught, that Boy Scouts were taught when I was a kid, that every vote counts? You just saw it did. You just saw that your little vote counted. It stopped the first communist revolution in the history of the United States of America. It stopped it in its tracks thus far. Now, whether the Republicans will continue to save us from these communists is another story. You know, I don't even call them socialists anymore, by the way. In my personal conversations with people, I refer to Obama and his minions as communists. I say, oh, the communists? Or if I talk about people here in the area I live in, I don't refer to them as liberals anymore. I just point blank say, oh, those communists? I've cut to the chase. I know who they are. I know who they are. They may not even know who they are, but I'll define them for themselves. I am telling you that they have to be stopped. They have to be pulled out by the root. Every one of the policies that Obama has put in has to be ripped out by the root and insecticide put into the root hole. Because otherwise, the weed of intolerance and the weed of hatred will strangle our liberty as sure as I'm standing here. Let me stop. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So I hope that in that long monologue I did off the top of my head yesterday, in the last segment rather, when I started by saying I'm a natural preserver of things, I'm a natural conservative, you saw what I'm talking about. This is aimed at the younger people who are afraid of the word conservative. You should wear it proudly. I mean, if you want to hold on to what's great about America, then you're a natural conservative. I love the word progressive. Do you assume that all progress is necessarily forward? Then I'll tell you a story that you may not have read. There was an Arctic explorer who was reporting that according to his calculations, he and his expedition was moving forward at a rate of 3 miles per day, okay? According to his own calculations, he was moving towards the North Pole, he thought at 3 miles per day. But he actually was on an ice floe that had been disconnected from a larger mass of ice, and the currents were moving the ice floe backwards at a rate of 5 miles per day, which means he had a net loss of 2 miles per day, and he didn't know it. And yet he thought he was making progress. That's Nancy Pelosi. That is exactly what we've been talking about. They're disconnected from reality. Do you remember her saying, I'll parachute in, I'll run in, I'll do what I have to do to force this down your throats? That's who you're talking about. Those are progressives. Progressive is a code word for dictatorship. All of the dictators were considered progressives. Mussolini thought he was a progressive. Hitler thought he was a progressive. Pol Pot thought he was a progressive. Mao Tse-tung was considered a progressive in China. Watch out for these progressives. The road to hell is paved with progressive intentions. The road to hell is paved with progressive intentions. That's all I can tell you. Now let's go to the callers. There's so many wonderful callers out there. I don't know which one to take. I swear to God, I don't know who to take. My eyes, I'm tired. Here, this one, Wisconsin Robert. Welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Mr. Savage, Dr. Savage, venerable,
yes, sir,
and worthy of respect. I wanted to tell you about your book here in Green Bay at the local Barnes & Noble. It took a week and a half to get it, and I got the first copy, and then I wanted to get a couple for my children, and it took another week to get it. The last time I went, they actually finally had some in stock, and your book was on the top of four shelves, and Obama was at the bottom shelf, and you were right in the middle.
Well, you mean Obama's book was bumped by Michael Savage's book?
It was on the floor, practically, Dr. Savage.
And where was Jimmy Carter's book? Was it in the herpetology section? Was Jimmy Carter's book in the herpetology section?
No idea, doctor, but I
thought I'm sorry, I couldn't resist that. There's some pleasure in being an unknown who is never spoken of, whose book is a raging bestseller, and a former president is schlepping around to book signings with 12 people who, you know, have little vials of cyanide with them or whatever. Hey, thanks for the call, Robert. God bless people like you. You know, coming up shortly, I have a man I am so happy won. Alan B. West, congressman-elect from Florida. You say, well, I'm not in that district. I'm not interested. Please listen to me. I don't know where to begin with Alan West. Do you remember Alan West? I was one of the first people in the media to have him on my show, and I asked you to help him. I'm also one of the first people to have a Congresswoman Bachman on. Do you remember when she came on a year ago? No one had ever heard of her. Okay, Wallbanger never had her on. None of them had her on. I had Bachman on, and I asked you to raise money for her. She was targeted by Pelosi. Well, she won. Okay, Congressman Alan West is a retired U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel. He was elected yesterday. The man was born and raised in Atlanta, Georgia. He's the third of four generations of military serviceman. He loves God and country. The man has been honored many times. You may remember the story, Bronze Star, three meritorious service medals, three Army Commendation Medals, one with Valor, a Valorous Unit Award. He was a captain in Desert Storm. He wears the Army Master Parachutist Badge, Air Assault Badge, Navy Marine Corps Parachutist Insignia, Italian Parachutist Wings, German Proficiency Badge. He's a distance runner, scuba diver, motorcyclist, attends Community Christian Church in Tamarack, Florida. But what you may remember most about Congressman West was that while he was slogging it away, running against the vile Democrat machine in Southern Florida, the notoriously vile smear machine of Southern Florida, the despicable machine of his opponent, they try to take his very heroism in Iraq and turn it into a deficit. You may remember the story. He was in charge of interrogating a civilian Iraqi police officer who was suspected of having pertinent information regarding attacks on U.S. soldiers in the area. But the detainee wouldn't give information. They called in Colonel West to get the information out of him. West fired his pistol next to the detainee's head into a clearing barrel and frightening but not harming the terrorist. And he got the terrorist to crap his pants and give him the information. And as a result, at least one man was captured. And as a result of the information, many soldiers were saved. And Colonel West said, I'd rather lose my stripes than see my men lose their life. And that is how you remember him, right? But the Democrats took this act of valor and turned it into a deficit, so they thought. But let me tell you something, all you rats in Southern Florida. You have a real man now in Congress instead of another deli manager.
Savage.
I love the smell of liberals in the afternoon. Actually, I don't love the smell of liberals in the afternoon. It's why I'm on the air in the afternoon, to avoid the smell of liberals in the coffee shops of Nancy Pelosi San Francisco. All right, welcome back to the Savage Nation. We have joining us now a man I'm very proud to have on the show, Congressman-elect Alan West. Colonel, welcome to the Savage Nation. What a great day it is, isn't it?
It is an absolutely great day, Dr. Savage. Thanks so much for having me on, and congratulations to the San Francisco Giants.
Aha. Uh-huh. Now, you know, it turns out that I am sort of bi-coastal. I don't travel very much, but I happen to have a home in your district in Florida. Did you know that?
Absolutely, I do.
And I hope that in December, if you and your wife are in Florida, I mean, I'm doing this on the radio, I shouldn't do it, you can join us for a group of people to come out. You're probably very busy with your church and your friends and family, but I'd love to personally meet you at that time, Colonel.
No, you will, and I can tell you that my wife would dump me just to go and have a dinner with you.
Oh, my God. You have so much in your background. You are four generations now of military?
Absolutely. Four generations, going back to my dad, who served in World War II. My older brother, Nam, I did 22 years, and now my nephew is a young captain, also a paratrooper serving as well.
Colonel, during the campaign, it was a long time you were an underdog. Am I correct?
Yeah, you know, it was. You know, the media really tried to portray us as an underdog, but I tell you, when they started to get the sensing that we were gaining momentum and we had a great shot of an upset, they really unleashed the dogs on us down here. You know, releasing. They put my Social Security number and my wife's employment number in a mail piece that went out. They tried to make me part of an all-white motorcycle gang and said that I was dealing drugs and also...
Wait a minute. They made you part of an all-white motorcycle gang even though you're African-American?
Absolutely. I guess I was, you know...
That must have been an honor for you, I suppose.
Well, they saw too many episodes of The Sons of Anarchy.
You mean they try to make you into a token white in a white motorcycle gang? Is there no end, no bottom to which... Who are you running against? What's the character's name?
Yes, Ron Klein.
And what did Ron do prior to running for office?
Well, he's been a career politician. He's been in the state house here, the state senate, and then the U.S.
Did you say he was a maitre d' in a steakhouse?
Pretty much. Lawyer, lobbyist, the whole nine yards. So.
So he didn't work in a steakhouse. You said he was a senator in the state house. So he must have really gotten... I mean, the whipping you gave him is going to really humiliate him, isn't it?
Well, it did, and as a matter of fact, he still has not called to offer me congratulations or to concede, but, you know, that's okay. We know the truth, and, you know, when you're dealing with people that don't have much character, you just, you know, push it aside and you press on.
Colonel, when you, now that you're a congressman, your district stretches from where? West, from where in the north of Florida to where in the south? Where's the district?
Yeah, we are down on the southeastern coast. If you're familiar, from Fort Lauderdale all the way up to Jupiter Inlet, it's pretty much so a coastal district, although it does have three locations where it kind of shoots in westward. But Fort Lauderdale, Pompano Beach, Deerfield Beach, Boca Raton, Delray, Boynton Beach, Palm Beach, West Palm Beach, Jupiter, Palm Beach Gardens.
But, Congressman, let's talk about this. This is interesting to me. This district is largely white, isn't it? Ethnically?
You're correct. It's 92 to 93% white.
Well, that's an amazing story. Here you are, an African-American, if I can use that designation. I didn't use it once before you came on the show, but we have to talk about it. Yet you won in a district that's 92% Caucasian. How is that possible, given the fact that this race was so polarized along racial lines? And it really was.
Yeah, well, I think the thing is, I never talked about myself being a black candidate. I talked about myself, my commitment to my country, my conviction to this constitutional republic, and we talked about the issues, and we always stayed focused, and even though Ron Klein never ran anything but negative ads the entire time, he never talked about his voting record, never talked about what he wanted to do going back to Washington, D.C., all he did was attack me. And there was a lot of people that wanted me to get into the back and forth with him, but I told them that's not what true honor and character is about. And we ended up winning because that's what prevails.
Let's talk about Congress for a minute. We can't cover the waterfront. I am very concerned about Obama's attacks on our national security, notably NASA, the space program, and also our nuclear arsenal. You know, I wrote a whole chapter on his war on our military, national security, and trickle-up poverty. I'm not fearing it because I sense it. It's because the man has actually given speeches that's what he wants to do. Is this something that the Democrat Party is willing to tackle?
Yes, because the thing which you look at with the Democrat Party, they're more than happy to have a 21st century Sir Neville Chamberlain moment, because they believe that you can compromise, appease, and negotiate with despots, dictators, theocrats, and autocrats. They believe that they're so highly intelligent that if you sit down and talk with them long enough, they can convince you of the error of your ways and that you should not be out there making war. They tend to not understand that a lot of the world is still Machiavellian, and the prince is always looking to be strong and to be respected through his strength. And I agree with what Ronald Reagan said. You can have peace, but peace has to come through strength and not through conveying weakness, which is what we are doing and definitely this Obama administration.
Colonel, I don't want to put you on the spot. One of the platforms that I call for in my book is I think this is going to become a very big issue, and I think the Democrats are liable to lead with it, by the way. I'm calling for tariffs on Chinese goods. Now, strangely enough, the Republican Party oppose tariffs. I have read that many Democrats in the swing districts are actually going to make this a big issue going to 2012. Do you have an opinion on that issue?
Yeah, I absolutely do, and I think it's the difference between free trade and fair trade. China is still a communist country, and the trade surplus that they have been able to create and develop because we've given them such favored trade status is going not towards the betterment of the lives of the Chinese citizen. It's going toward their having the world's largest blue water navy. And the critical thing, you know, it's going to hurt me saying this as a soldier, but the means by which you project a nation's power is through the seas. And when you think about them having this large navy, you think about the fact that they're controlling the Panama Canal, the fact that they're all over the world looking for energy resources. They're here in the Caribbean. This is a huge threat. And the next thing you know, they will threaten the open sea lanes of commerce. So we have got to understand that your economic strength is part of your national power. And you've got to use trade as a means by which you can strengthen it with your allies. And I think that's where free trade comes in. And I think it's sad that we don't have those free trade agreements with Colombia or South Korea, but yet we're having this this trade, you know, open trade agreement with China, who they're just turning it upside down on us, and plus they're owning so much of our debt, so soon they're going to completely own us.
Colonel, I know why you won the election. It's not only because you're a patriot and people know it, but because you answer questions directly and intelligently and honestly, and I hear it right now, and I think America's going to slowly come to understand this is a new dawn in America. With men like you in Congress, I really have hope for the future of this country. And again, I want to extend an invitation. I hope to be in Florida in December for sure. January, do you have? You'll be in Congress in January, correct?
Yeah. Well, I'll probably have to leave and go up to D.C. Sometime after Christmas, because we'll have the swearing-in in early January. But if you're down here in December, you know, Beowulf knows how to get a hold of me. And if my wife, who is listening, who I'm quite sure she is, finds out that we did not get over to your house for dinner, she'll hang me.
Now, wait a minute. You have some family. I can't believe this. I want to say see you there, but wait a minute. His wife, Angela, holds an MBA and PhD and works as a financial planner. That's amazing. So she's Dr. West. And does she refer to you as Colonel and you refer to her as Doctor?
No, she refers to me as Private and I refer to her as Doctor.
Colonel West, a true honor having you on the Savage Nation. Congratulations. I'm glad that we were with you in the beginning, and I hope we're with you all the way up the line. And again, if you know of a good deli that needs managing, let us know, because we'll forward it on to your former opponent, who's going to be looking for a job.
Well, thank you so much, and I'm really honored. You've been there with me ever since back in Iraq in 2003. And I want to thank you and the Savage Nation for all the great support that you gave to us. And we press on, and we will be a principal leader for our country.
God bless America. Thank you very much. Congressman-elect Alan West from Florida. What a beautiful moment that was for me. It's a glow. I got a little glow from it. To actually hear a realist and a patriot, a man who, you know, has been there fighting for this country and comes back and runs for office, and against all odds. I want you to think about it. He ran against an entrenched politician in South Florida, and the man wins. How do you explain that? African American in a white district. I thought this was a racist nation. According to the liberal playbook, it was a racist nation. Anyone who opposed Obama was not a patriot. They were a racist. Well, I guess we've come to see that that's a falsehood. Anyway, I'm going to be focusing over the next weeks and months on Obama's attacks on our security, by the way, more than anything, and Obamacare. And I'm going to try to educate you without boring you. I know many of you don't want to hear it anymore. Probably after tomorrow, I would guess, you're going to start turning away from the whole political deal. You know, it's a natural phenomenon. You've heard it. You know it's a sweep. You know it's unprecedented, and certainly you want to hear the victory speeches and all of that. But then after a while, I mean, how much more are you going to listen to it? And you'll go back to your normal lives, which you have to do to make a living and to enjoy yourself. Let's not forget that life is supposed to be enjoyed. We can't forget that, can we? Can we forget that life is supposed to be enjoyable? Many of us work so darn hard. We worry so much. We worry for ourselves and our family and our country that we've forgotten that one of the key purposes of living is to enjoy ourselves. So just maybe even I, Michael Savage, can let go for a little bit, lighten up a little bit over the next weeks, God willing, and I'll learn to enjoy myself with you right here on the Savage Nation. I'll be right back. Savage. Hi, welcome back. The reason we're playing Krishna music is because our maximum leader is heading off on a junket to India on Saturday, $200 million a day, and with an entourage of 3,000, including his own food taster. That's after making sure that the little man got taken care of pretty good during the election. Oh, it would be laughing matter if we were still a strong nation. We're not that strong anymore. We're being eaten alive by China, by India, and other nations that really are benefiting from the corruption of our own Congress. When you look at favored nation status that was granted to China, they traded us into eternity here. How do you think they got it? Bill Clinton. How do you think they got missile technology? The former head of the DNC. Remember that story back in the 90s? I mean, I go back a little bit. Bernie Schwartz, right? Bernie Shapiro, the head of the DNC, Loral Space Technology, shared the technology that was developed by the U.S. government and shared it with China, who prior to that could not launch a satellite. Well, then they learned how to launch satellites. In order to launch his, he had to do blah, blah, blah. The next thing you knew, they were launching the big Dongong missile, which could now reach San Francisco. All because of the corruption of the Democrat Party. Look, there's a lot of things that need to be done. I'm not sure any of it's going to happen. I hope so. They'll probably start to repeal Obamacare, but it probably has as much chance of getting repealed as Newt Gingrich's contract with America had a chance of really passing. I'm a cynic here with the Republicans. One of the things I would like to see done, it is not in trickle-up poverty. I would like to see a thorough congressional investigation of Media Matters. I would like to see their tax-free status investigated. I would like to see how much money they may or may not be getting from George Soros and foreign sources. I would like to see every individual in Media Matters who has made my life a living hell investigated. They're the ones, in my opinion, who made sure that Britain got pieces of my speeches over the years, cut them up and made me look like what I'm not, and got me banned in Britain. Media's George Soros. His manipulation of elections. Do you think NPR will be investigated? Do you think that the imperious Maoist leader of NPR will be dethroned? Do you think NPR will be defunded under the Republicans? You know, I'm in the information business, and I know what information can do. And I am telling you that unless the Republicans have a strategist who they're willing to listen to, who understands that it's all about information, and that we're living in InfoWars right now, and the Democrats almost beat them because of InfoWars, they're not going to get very far. They're going to be triangulated again by the Democrats, who are very smart. Remember, the Democrats own Hollywood. Or shall I say Hollywood, which are 99% Democrat, owns the Democrat Party or vice versa. They're very good at getting the message out. And they're also very smart and very adept at changing their stripes when necessary and camouflage. They're going to come out very soon, as mark my words, as more patriotic than the Republicans. They're going to come out very soon with new messages that they're tough on China, You wait and see. Wait until you see what the Democrats do. That's because they own the principal organs of information. And so, yeah, we need to control the information a little better. Conservatives need to do more than talk radio. And unless we get control of the smear machines like Media Matters, unless the Republicans are willing to drag them in front of a congressional hearing and say to them, all right, we want to see all your tax records going back. How did your income go from $600,000 to $4 million in 1 year? How is it that you make $800,000 a year in Media Matters and you make believe that you're a man for the little people when you smear guys like Michael Savage? We don't like it. And we want to get to the bottom of it. You claim that you're interested in media bias and all you do is attack conservatives? You're an arm of the Democrat socialist machine. Your tax status is going to be ripped away from you and you're going to pay taxes going back 5 years. Yeah, there's a lot that could be done. Why doesn't the new administration appoint me as a czar of the media? Since Obama can appoint czars, I don't want to run for anything. Why doesn't John Boehner reach out to Michael Savage and make me a czar of the media? Let me investigate what's been going on in the media with special tax games and this game and that game. Let's see who's been giving money to whom. Let me investigate NPR as a special czar. Give me the task. Give me the staff. Give me the budget. Yeah, just do that. Let me be a czar for the new Democrat majority. Let's see what happens. Do I really think it'll happen? Nah, never. Never. The Republicans are as intimidated by the truth as the Democrats are. The only hope we have are the people themselves. You. You, the listener, are the only hope this country ever had. You have, in essence, taken the country back from the real special interest called the two-party system. You know, we keep hearing special interest this, special. Even Obama was using it 2 days ago. I'm going to save America from the special interest, like he, you know. Well, the real special interests are the Democrats and the Republicans. Isn't that the message of this election? What do you think it was all about? Tea Party, rebels, third-party candidates? That's what it was about. That's all it was about. Now, will they be able to gain control of the agenda of the Republican Party? I doubt it. The machine is too tough. And the power structure is very intimidating. So when good men go to Washington and good women go to Washington, they're going to be awestruck by the paintings, by the marble busts, and things of that nature. And they're going to be awestruck by the structure itself. And they're going to probably be less likely to engage in the rhetoric and the actions that they wish they could engage in once they enter the halls of Congress. And so, therefore, I'm a realist when it comes down to that. There's no question that this election was a repudiation of everything that Obama has stood for. Yes, they didn't approve of Obama. Yes, they didn't approve of Obamacare. Yes, they absolutely detested Nancy Pelosi's arrogance. There's no question about it. That she was one of the reasons there was such a tidal wave that swept the Republicans out of office. This was not so much an election to sweep Republicans into office as it was an election to sweep Democrats out of office. But where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? I'll tell you exactly where we go from here. We work every day to stop Obama's attack on our borders, economy, and security. We do it through talk radio. We do it through the internet. We do it through my book. We do it through little meetings. Would you please read my book? Would you read Tup, please? Read it. Really read it. Don't just wave it around.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Michael, I just want to thank you so much, my good friend, for the wonderful opportunity to sit in for you for the last hour tonight. And Michael, I just want to offer you once again my congratulations on your spectacular bestseller. Michael, I got to tell you, yesterday was not just a victory for America, for the Republicans, and for conservatives and patriots all across this great country. It was also a victory for you, my friend. I believe that your book, the timing of the book, the message of the book clearly resonated and had an impact on the election. And Michael, I have to say, once again, you have shown us what a page. You do not want to touch that dial. We have a superb hour for you. Go to michaelsavage.com for the latest stories on the post-election results. But the one that is just coming in, hot off the wire, is Nancy the Witch Pelosi. Here, repudiated, having lost her majority in the House. What does Nancy Pelosi say? Boys, roll the clip.
No regrets, because we believe we did the right thing and we worked very hard in our campaigns to convey that to the American people.
No regrets? No regrets? I've just taken the Democratic Party right off the cliff. We have lost 65 House seats. The president himself today in a press conference said, quote, I got a shellacking. They got shellacked. They lost one of the biggest majorities the Democrats have ever had. And what does the witch from San Francisco have to say? What does Nancy Pelosi have to say? She's got no regrets. Because she is a left-wing radical. You want to see what a socialist she is? You want to see what a Marxist she is? Even after this humiliating defeat, even after Obama's spanking, the electorate giving him the back of their hand, what does she have to say? Hey, I fought for the right policies. I did the right thing. We lose, we lose. What you are now seeing right in front of you is not just the destruction of the Democratic Party and the destruction of the Democratic coalition, but you are now seeing the true leftist radicalism at the heart of the Democrats. Even in defeat, according to Nancy Pelosi, what's a few careers? Hey, you got to break a few careers to make a European entitlement state. You got to break a few careers to push for socialism and the revolution. And if that means me losing the House speakership, too bad. And in the final analysis, what happened yesterday? When everything is said and done, why did the Republicans win? And members of the Savage Nation, I believe the answer is a simple one. The American people see a wannabe socialist dictator in the White House. They have seen him destroy our healthcare system. They have seen him destroy our economy. They have seen him destroy our borders. We have seen him, by his own admission, 1 week before the election campaign. To me, this was unprecedented. I have never, ever in the history of the United States, I challenge any liberal, any Democrat, any American to come out and refute this claim that I'm going to make right now. When has a president of the United States ever referred to his own people, his own citizens, as enemies? Enemies that must be punished. Notice he never refers to that wannabe Nazi dictator, Ahmadinejad, I want a jihad. No, 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 no. He's not an enemy. The leader of China, those communist Chinese butchers, they're not enemies. Putin is not an enemy. No, they're allies. They're friends. They're partners. Chavez, the dictator from Venezuela, he hugs Chavez. We're buddies. Hey, no, no, he's not an enemy. But Americans who vote against him, Americans who oppose his radical leftist agenda, they must be punished. They are the enemies. What you have is a man in the White House who has declared war upon the American people. And what did the American people finally say last night? They said, we do not want to go quietly into the good night. We will make our last stand in defense of this republic, in defense of our freedom and limited government. We will defend our Constitution. And so now the Democrats are engaged in a desperate spin campaign. Now he comes out today, the dear leader, having been humiliated in the eyes of the entire world. And what does he say? Well, it wasn't really a referendum on my policies. No, no. How could you even think that? No, no. I'm still resplendent. I'm still the great liberal emperor. I can still do no wrong. People are frustrated. It's an ailing economy. Hey, we're still in a recession. It's not recovering like I want to. You know, what can I tell you? Hey, it's a frustration. It's an anger. People don't have jobs. People are underemployed. People are looking for work. And they just happen to take it out on me. It's a messaging problem. This is what White House sources have been telling me all day. Can you believe the bubble that they're living in? This is the bubble that they're living in. They're running around telling everybody in the media who will listen to them, no, 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 no. It's not Obamacare. It's not cap and trade. It's not suing Arizona. It's not supporting the Ground Zero Mosque. It's not the failed stimulus. No, it's not. It's not the dear leader. It's not our policies. We didn't explain it well enough. You just don't know how good we've been. But for the next 2 years, we'll tell you how good we've been, and this will make everything right again. It won't. The problem is not one of message or communication. We have seen enough of Obama. Everywhere I look, it's like a cult of personality. He's on he does cable TV. He does all the networks. He does all the radio. He does hip-hop. You name it, there he is. I'm sick of seeing this guy. We know what he's been peddling us, and we don't want it. The problem, Mr. President, is not your message team. It's not your communications arm. It's not the people in the White House. It is you, sir. You are now the bankrupt president of a bankrupt regime. And now all the world knows it. And so the question that I have for all of you out there, members of the Savage Nation, is with the Republicans taking control of the House, making major gains and inroads in the Senate, with Obama now on the ropes, do you believe that the Republicans will follow through on their promises? Do you trust them? Do you really think that they're going to defund and repeal Obamacare? Are they going to pass meaningful tax cuts? Are they going to block amnesty for illegal immigrants and cap and trade? Are they going to cut government spending and balance the budget? Are they serious? Because let's be honest with ourselves. I've said it to you before when I filled in for Michael, and I'll say it again. I am not a Republican hack. I am a nationalist, and I am a conservative. And for the last two decades in this city, in Washington, D.C., I have seen the Republicans behave just as bad as the Democrats. Now they want us to believe that Karl Rove, that John Boehner, that the whole Republican establishment who gave us George Bush, who gave us skyrocketing deficits, who gave us prescription drug benefit, who gave us the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, now all of a sudden they've become born-again small government conservatives? You know what? I know the Tea Party's breathing down their neck. I know that. They can see now what they see, the Rand Pauls, the Marco Rubios, the Pat Toomeys. They see them now everywhere, Ron Johnson in Wisconsin. They now see the Tea Party movement. There is an uprising. So their back's against the wall. They know where their political bread is buttered. But do you really think that they are going to try to repeal Obama's agenda root and branch? Or are they just going to play defense, play politics, and wait for 2012 to regain the White House? 1-800-449-8255 is the number. And let's make it a double-barreled question. It's post-election night. Let's have a little bit of fun. Do you think Nancy Pelosi will step down as House Minority Leader? She says she has no regrets. Do you think Nancy Pelosi will resign? Or do you think she's going to stick around and try to lead a liberal Democratic caucus? And do you think the Republicans are going to repeal Obamacare? It's open here on the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
After your election 2 years ago, when you met with Republicans, you said that that elections have consequences. I wonder what consequences you think this election should have then in terms of your policies. Are there areas that you're willing, can you name today, areas that you would be willing to compromise on that you might not have been willing to compromise on in the past?
Well, I think I've been willing to compromise in the past, and I'm going to be willing to compromise going forward.
Oh, sure. We saw all the compromise, dear leader. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Do you think Republicans will be able to repeal Obama's socialist agenda? Nancy Pelosi has said she has no regrets, even though it cost her party the majority in the House. In fact, they got shellacked. They lost at least 65 seats, maybe even more. One of the most historic defeats ever for the Democratic Party. I want to hear from you. Do you think Nancy Pelosi will go, or will she stay on as House Minority Leader? Eric in Tucson, Arizona, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
I don't believe, I think she will try to go on. Had we won the Senate, I think she would have gone ahead and retired. But I really believe that she believes they still have a shot.
You mean a shot at retaking the House in 2012?
Oh, at passing the agenda. I don't think they care whether they retake the House. I don't think this agenda has anything to do with the lawful running of America.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it has anything to do with being lawful.
Okay. No, Eric, I think you're right, and I want to thank you for that call. Look, what I'm hearing from the White House is this, and you can take this to the bank. Obama is convinced that he is a messianic figure who now has put himself permanently in the pantheon of the greatest of all liberal presidents because he has delivered what FDR, John F. Kennedy, and Bill Clinton could only dream of. And that is universal socialized medicine. He did it. And so now, why do you think they were pouring so much money into Harry Reid's race? Did you notice? They were sending in thousands of lobbyists, SEIU, AFSCAM, public employee unions, congressional aides. They flooded that state. Literally, they poured money into the desert to save Harry Reid because he was Obama's henchman. He's his chief enforcer in the Senate. They did not want Harry Reid to go down because to Harry Reid, to Barack Obama, to Nancy Pelosi, the revolution is what matters. And now they have to consolidate and cement their socialist revolution. They have to fend off the Republicans. So, Eric, I think you're right. She wants to stay, lead a very liberal caucus in the House. It's going to be more ideologically liberal, if you can believe it, than it was before, because all the blue dogs got slaughtered. All those supposed moderate Democrats, all those blue dog conservative Democrats in the South and the Midwest, they got decimated yesterday. So you're going to have a pure, ideologically pure socialist party in the House. You're going to have Harry Reid protect Obama in the Senate. And you're going to have the dear leader now caged, his back against the wall, and he is now going to go all the way. He is going to push for amnesty. He is going to push for cap and trade. And he is going to do everything he can to cement socialized health care. Let's go to Coleman in San Diego. Coleman, I got about a minute. Go, baby.
Yes, Jeff. Last week I stumbled onto one of the progressive radio stations, and I was kind of listening to it, and I can only take so long of that. But last week they were thinking that they were going to win back. They were going to keep their power in the House and the Senate. Well, now today They were sitting there saying that they're blaming the Republicans for the loss of the new Democrats that came in 08. Those guys were nothing more than sacrificial lambs for their agenda.
Coleman, you hit the nail right on the head. All of those Democrats that they elected in 2006 and 2008, they had them walk the plank for Pelosi, Reid, and Obama. Remember, it was Obama who said, hey, just pass Obamacare. It's going to be so popular, we're going to ride a wave in 2010. Your jobs are safe. They all walked the plank. They all lost their jobs. They all lost their careers. But my friends, this is the key point. The next 2 years are going to determine the destiny of this country. If the Republicans are not able to repeal Obamacare, if they're not able to put this president on the defensive, then my friends, what good are they? And so now Obama is going to go, I think, for the whole enchilada. He is now going to redouble his efforts to pass his socialist revolution. And the question is, will the American people rise up again as they did last night? This is Jeff Cooner, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
What we're probably going to have to do is say, here are some areas where there's just too much disagreement between Democrats and Republicans. We can't get this done right now. But let's not wait. Let's go ahead and start making some progress on the things that we do agree on. And we can continue to have a strong and healthy debate about those areas where we don't.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Well, there was the dear leader. There was the comrade-in-chief. The con man in chief, after the election results today at his news conference, saying, hey, we can have our disagreements. He's already telegraphing that he's going to dig in his heels. And members of the Savage Nation, this cannot be overstated enough. Was the depth of the repudiation last night. This guy is living in Wonderland. This guy's living in Cuckoo Land. I don't know what planet this guy's inhabiting. He literally got decimated. His party got decimated. In 1932 was the last time the party in power lost this many seats. That was the Great Depression. That's when the Republicans were literally politically wiped out by Franklin Roosevelt and the New Deal. They lost 65 House seats at least. They lost 6 seats in the Senate, maybe more if some of these recounts come in. This is unprecedented. In 1994, Gingrich only picked up over 52 seats. I mean, the depth of this, and it's not just the number. Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, North Carolina, Indiana, all of those states that Obama carried in 08 are gone. They're now red states. Russ Feingold, a liberal institution in the Senate in Wisconsin, got his head handed to him by a Tea Party candidate, Ron Johnson. They lost Wisconsin, his old Senate seat. In Illinois, blue Illinois, his own seat he lost. You think this would at least sober him a little bit? You think the dear leader would say, you know what, maybe the emperor has no clothes. Maybe my scrawny little body, my skinny little body, people can actually see it. And they don't like it. They don't find it attractive. They don't find my policies attractive. They don't care for my socialism. No. Where we agree, maybe extending the Bush tax cuts for the middle class. We can talk about energy. I'm willing to hear ideas on health care as long as you don't really repeal it, as long as you don't defund it, as long as you don't really fundamentally overthrow it. You want to tinker? Maybe. I'm looking at maybe tinkering these tax forms for some of these small businesses. Maybe a little bit too complicated. We'll look at that. This is literally the mind of a liberal leftist fantasist. He lives in a bubble. And this is what I have been telling people for the last couple of days. Everybody in Washington's been telling me, oh, Obama's going to get the message. Oh, he's going to, oh, it's a repudiation. He's going to lose the House. I'm like, you guys have no idea what planet he lives on. I speak to people close to him. Over the weekend, he still thought that he was going to hold on to the House. Never mind the Senate. He said, no, no, forget the Senate. They won't even come close to getting the Senate. I think we can still hold on to the House. The people still love me. This is the delusion that this man lives under. And here is where we get to the heart of the matter. If you look at Obama, who he is, what he is nothing more than a spoiled brat. That's what this man is. He is an adolescent leftist at his core. Throughout his entire life, everything has been given to him on a silver platter. As a young man going through college, rising up as a supposed community organizer, becoming a state senator, going into the U.S. Senate, he has been privileged every step of the way. Everybody tells him, Barack, Barry, as they used to call him in Chicago, you're brilliant. You can do no wrong. You can part the waters. You're our Messiah, Barry. No one has ever said no to him. No one has ever repudiated him. He has never suffered a serious defeat or even known real suffering ever in his life. Everything has been given to him on a silver platter. He's been spoon-fed everything. And now, for the first time, he's actually been defeated. And not just defeated, he has been trounced. He has been obliterated. And look in the shell that he walks. Look at the bubble that he lives in. He is living in complete denial. No, 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 no. We still have the Senate. The world still loves me. The coward that he is. Now he's going to fly off to Mumbai. He's going to head off to India and then go back to the land of his youth, where he was raised as a child by his Muslim father, where we now find out, according to himself, by his own admission, he now has rediscovered his inner Muslim, where he read the Quran, where he attended mosque, where he said to a New York Times reporter, the most beautiful thing I ever heard was the call to prayer every Friday. The call of the azan, as he put it. Now he is going to go back to Indonesia, still thinking the great conquering hero. He is going to visit one of the largest mosques in the world. He is now going to bow again to Islam and the Muslims in Indonesia. But at home, the peasants have grown restive. His subjects are now saying, you are no longer our emperor. This is a republic, and we are not subjects, but citizens. And Mr. Obama, we do not want you anymore. Your time has come, and it is gone. And so, my friends, you heard it right here first on the Savage Nation. I believe Obama will not finish his full term. His popularity is plummeting. He is living in denial. He is not going to tack to the center. He is going to go even more to the left. And the more left he goes, the more his popularity is going to sink. And what is going to happen to him? Just what happened to Lyndon Johnson in the 1960s. Remember, it was Johnson that gave us the Great Society. He said we could have socialism and nation building in Vietnam. What is Obama giving us? Nation building in Afghanistan, his Vietnam, and socialism at home. And by the end of Johnson's term, Robert Kennedy and Eugene McCarthy ran against him and they broke him in Iowa and New Hampshire. He threw in the towel and wouldn't even run for re-election. This is what is waiting for Obama. Mark my words. The Clintonistas are already sharpening their knives. They now sense blood in the water. And they are going to run against him in a primary challenge and they are going to hammer him. And he will not even win the nomination of his own party. Maybe then the dear leader will wake up and realize how much this country is so disgusted by his radical socialism and his big government agenda. Let's go to Terry in Wisconsin. Terry, Thanks for holding, and welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Cooner. You take the words right out of my mouth. Both you and Dr. Savage nail it so hard. If you watch very carefully as to which states went from blue to red, you will see that the middle of the country has paired off from him. The blue states, perhaps in Delaware, remain that, and California, well, you know, they're going to sink into the ocean anyway. But I'm not with Dr. Savage on it, hopefully. But anyway, the middle of the country are the producers. And we are sick and tired of having Washington dictate to us their edicts and their nonsense when we know how to get up in the morning and do something with our time. We've been getting up and doing it since we were 4 years old when we were milking cows with Mom and Dad in the barn, and we're still doing it at age 52. We're getting up in the morning and producing with our time, and that's what makes money. And we are sick and tired of watching our hard-earned work be devoured at $200 million a day for some little vacation in India and Indonesia. Hopefully they keep the man. God, help us.
Terry, thank you for that call. Look, I got to tell you this, really. I mean, I'm kind of being a bit facetious. I'm sort of half joking, but really, it actually saves us money when he goes abroad. $200 million a day compared to what they're spending, that's a bargain. That's a bargain. You know what? They're already cutting the deficit. I swear to you, they're already cutting the deficit by sending him $200 million a day to India and then Indonesia and the rest of those Asian countries. Hey, it's better than him staying here. Terry, if you only knew how your money was being wasted and squandered and misspent in Washington, D.C., the way I see it every day, you would cry. You would cry. It is a shame. And now, stand back. Look, these are statistics. The numbers are so big that it almost is mind-numbing. But under this man, just think of this. His budget is already coming out for next year. It's going to be again over $1 trillion, the deficit. Three consecutive deficits over $1 trillion. We're going broke. We are heading the way of Greece. This man is taking us off a financial and economic cliff. You don't understand. All the other issues, they don't matter. Because if you go broke, you can't do anything. You can't fight your wars. You can't defend your borders. You can't pay Social Security. You can't do anything. Nada. Zero. Zilch. That's what this man is doing. And you're right. Look at that map. Basically, what has this country been reduced to? We have blue on the two coasts. You basically have New York, New Jersey, and Los Angeles, California, Washington to some degree, and Oregon. That's it. The Northeast and California, the left coast and the Northeast. And in the middle, the vast sea of red. Middle America, the middle class, the heart and soul of this country has effectively seceded from the Obama regime. He has lost this country. And so to me, what is stunning is he comes out today, you would think after this kind of repudiation, I mean, I would be sitting around saying, guys, hey, David, I call up Rahm Emanuel in Chicago. Hey, Rahm, Valerie Jarrett, you guys told me healthcare was a winner. You told me the stimulus was a winner. You told me that all of these initiatives was going to help solidify a Democratic majority. We're getting hammered. I would come out and say, you know what? They're all fired. I'm firing my entire political team. I'm firing half of my cabinet. They're all gone. I heard you. I'm sorry. I'm going to the center. Isn't that what a politician? Think about it, Terry. If you're a politician, what is your primary goal? Really? I know as a citizen legislator, it should be to put the interests of the republic first. But in the real world, it's to get reelected. You see these kinds of numbers. That's why Bill Clinton in 94, my God, he ran to the center. He called up Dick Morris. Dick, get in here. Tell me, how do I reform welfare? How do I cut taxes? What do I do to get the economy jump-started? Take me away from these left-wing lunatics. No, they're in such denial. It's not just the dear leader. It's not just Nancy Pelosi. Look at Dirty Harry after winning. Look at now him. You want to see him living in denial? Boys, roll the clip.
Because of you, mm-hmm. we didn't just make history. Mm-hmm. We made a lot of futures.
Yep.
Because of you, we did it. Thank you.
Yeah, we did it. We did it. Like this guy, I don't know what. Like we won the war in Afghanistan or Iraq. You think it's victory in Europe Day the way he's celebrating. Your party has just been slaughtered and you're running around saying we did it. My friends, this is how disconnected they are from reality. So what I'm telling all of you is this. You think last night's shellacking was big? You ain't seen nothing yet. You are going to see Missouri. You're going to see Ohio. Sherrod Brown is up. There are many more. Bob Casey Jr. in Pennsylvania. He's going to go down in 2012. Believe me, the Republicans are licking their chops. We're going to get even more seats. So if that's what it takes, if it takes a complete tsunami, the Senate, the House, the presidency, if that's what it takes, hey, what I say to all the Democrats is, you want to destroy your party? You want to, like, as Dr. Savage said, I'll never forget this. It was one of the best lines I ever heard from any radio talk show host. Barack Hussein Obama is to the Democratic Party. He has radicalized it. He has discredited it. He is slowly destroying it. And that's what Barack is doing. Obama is destroying his own party. And so I'm just waiting for the grand poobahs of the Democratic Party, led by Bill and Hillary Clinton, to say, you know what? Let's take this guy out politically. Let's just finish him before he completely takes us down in 2012. This is Jeff Cooner, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation. Savage.
I intend to go back to Washington, and I intend to get to work. And I intend to work as hard as we can to get this economy back, stop the spending, and stop mortgaging our children and grandchildren's futures.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Well, that was John McCain. Yep, the Arizona gunslinger was elected last night. Now, this is what I find remarkable about Mr. Amnesty John McCain. He lost his buddy, Russ Feingold, campaign finance reform. I don't know what he's going to do now. He lost his buddy in the Senate. Ted Kennedy passed away. Who's he going to make deals with on campaign finance reform and giving amnesty to illegal immigrants? Here's a guy who's been in the Senate for decades. Johnny, why didn't you cut spending during the last 30 years? Why haven't you defended our borders in the last 30 years? Why haven't you slashed taxes in the last 30 years? Now, all of a sudden, you're a born-again conservative. Now, all of a sudden, John McCain, hey, he faced a tough primary fight from J.D. Hayworth. All of a sudden now, no. Hey, he's to the right of Ronald Reagan. This is the problem that we Americans and many Tea Party activists are going to have, is trying to keep these Republicans from constantly betraying the American people. And so until we get more Rand Pauls, more Pat Toomeys, more Marco Rubios in the Senate, you're going to see the same old game. You're going to see Dirty Harry Reid make deals with the John McCains of this world to, quote, compromise, reach out across the aisle, not be excessively partisan. No, we want partisanship. We don't want you to reach out across the aisle. We want you to tell Obama no. No on everything across the board. And so I'm warning Republicans. I'm warning them. If you do not stand up for conservative principles, the Savage Nation, Middle America, the Tea Party movement, the heart and soul of this country, we're going to go third party. We're going to have an American party. So if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. My friends, before I take some calls, we have breaking news here on the Savage Nation. Michael Bennett, the Democratic incumbent in Colorado in a very tough Senate race, has just been confirmed as the winner against the Tea Party Republican challenger, Buck. Buck put up a tough fight, but looks like Bennett was able to eke it out. So that's one potential seat that the Republicans have lost. We're going to still look at Alaska, which looks like it'll go Republican. It's just a question of who. And also we're going to look at Washington State with Patty Murray. Let's quickly go to John in Washington, D.C. John, I got about a minute. Go, baby.
Hey, my thing for the election is I voted Republican, but I did not sell my precious metals. What I think will happen is Obama said he's not gonna, he doesn't want a rematch on health care. And if the good old boys want to compromise with them, if they thought the Tea Party uproar was big before, they haven't seen anything yet. And what
you got it, John, you got it. You hit the nail right on the head. To the Republicans, no compromise. If you want our vote next time, you better stop Obama and you better repeal Obamacare root and branch. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation. May God bless you and may God bless the greatest country on earth, the United States of America.
Savage.